Next item, and I thank those who have been waiting patiently. We're a bit behind schedule, but these were important conversations to have.
Item 462, declare support for Peregrine Sports LLC's proposal to expand Providence Park.
So this resolution is what I would describe as the first step to implement a major expansion of a city-owned stadium. It will be funded with private dollars. These kinds of projects don't typically happen in the way that's being proposed today, and I'm very pleased with the conversations we've had with Peregrine and with folks at City Hall, and we're appreciative of their willingness to work with us and be flexible on some of the terms of this conversation. I think this is an exciting design, and I think it's a necessary expansion for this facility to make sure that Portland remains Soccer City USA for decades to come. Obviously, there will be much more to this conversation in the coming months, and I look forward to seeing people from the community, fans of the Timbers and the Thorns, people from the community who have other ideas about how best to approach this. We look forward to that conversation. Finally, I just want to state this. While there is no such thing as a free deal, there are always ancillary costs that will be borne by the city with any expansion. The vast, vast share of this proposal is covered by the private sector itself. In fact, this $50 million investment is a private investment for the rehabilitation and expansion of this facility. It is a city-owned facility. And I just want to contrast this with some recent deals that have taken place in other cities. In the city of Las Vegas, the taxpayers put in $750 million on a stadium expansion. In Atlanta recently, $280 million for a stadium expansion. So I'm very appreciative that when Peregrine came to us at the very beginning, we made it very clear that while we certainly saw some benefits to the community and saw the importance of what they were proposing, we really wanted them to step forward first. And I believe through this proposal, they've shown that commitment to do so. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Reinhart.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler.
Good morning.
Council members. My name is Tom Reinhart. I'm proud to be your Chief Administrative Officer, Director of the Office of Management and Finance. Susan Hartnett, my colleague, and I are going to do a short presentation on this resolution. Then you'll hear from Peregrine. As you know, informal discussions about a possible expansion of the city-owned stadium currently called Providence Park have been quietly happening for a year, and I know your offices have been briefed about that. Today's item is a resolution expressing Council's formal support for Peregrine Sports proposal to expand, and it directs city bureaus to work with them on that effort, specifically for OMF to negotiate the deal terms and necessary formal agreements. To be clear, the resolution that we're bringing to you today just directs us to do that work, and we will be bringing back other actions for you in the coming weeks. The mayor mentioned months. It'll actually be the coming weeks, and I'll explain that at the end. The resolution before you outlines the following. It tells a little bit about the successful story that we all now know, professional soccer here in Portland, that led Peregrine to make this proposal. 13,000 people who are on the waiting list for Timber season tickets, and the great enthusiasm for our Portland Thorns. It outlines core elements of Peregrine's proposal, 4,000 additional seats for the stadium at an estimated cost of $50 million that will be fully paid by Peregrine, as the mayor mentioned, and their requested exemption from ticket tax obligation on new seats for a period of 10 years. The resolution also outlines the construction timeline. As we have talked with all of you and your staffs about, Peregrine would like to start this fall and expects the majority of the work to occur between the two MLS seasons. To meet this proposed construction schedule, the passage of this resolution today, assuming you pass it, will be followed in quick succession by several other items on your agenda. So I want to just give you a preview of those so you know what events will be triggered by your action today, assuming you take it. May 17th, on your regular agenda, an emergency ordinance for an amendment to an existing on-call contract that will allow our spectator program that Susan so ably runs It'll enable them to retain needed owner's reps for the design and construction phases of the expansion. On June 7th, a resolution would be on your agenda to approve a non-binding term sheet covering the deal points and an ordinance approving an exemption from the competitive bid requirements. So that's a little bit of a preview of what will happen if you approve the resolution today. Unless there are questions for Susan and I'm going to invite Mike Golub from Peregrine Sports to come up and talk to you about the resolution.
And then you'll all be available for questions?
And then we will, of course, yes.
Very good. Mike, come on up. If you could just introduce yourself for the record, please.
Twice in 1 week.
Yes. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and council members. I am Mike Golub. I'm the president of business for the Portland Thorns and the Portland Timbers. And we've had just what I would characterize as an incredibly successful partnership with the city, with all of you, your offices, the bureaus, with Susan and her team. And quite simply, the success we've had on the field and off the field over the last 7 years would not be possible without the partnership we have with the city. The Thorns Championship, the Timbers Championship, the All-Star Game, many amazing moments on the field by both clubs, and all the things we do off the field, our waiting lists, our sellouts, the work we do in the community. Really, without the foundational partnership we have with all of you, would not be possible. So thank you, first of all. And we believe that the expansion that we're contemplating, that that you're considering today, and the collaboration on this new chapter in Providence Park, we think is a natural evolution of where this partnership is, where the stadium is, where the industry and the league is going. And as Mayor Wheeler said, we think it's a necessary one to really ensure a successful future for the city, for our fan base, for the stadium, and for our club. So again, thank you for your collaboration, and we appreciate all the time and effort that Tom and his team and all of you and your staffs have put into this.
Mayor.
Commissioner Fish.
Mike, thanks for joining us, and thanks for the excitement you brought to our city with two fantastic soccer teams. Two questions. One is, if we authorize this and you grow the stadium to 25,000 seats, does that make us eligible for sporting events that we currently miss out on because of the size of our stadium?
We do. As I think we've shared with you, Providence Park currently is in the lower half of capacity in the league, and that's only going to change as more and more new venues come online in our league. And there are some events, concerts, other events that really need a larger capacity. We're talking to some promoters now about some big shows that would bypass Portland if they didn't have a larger capacity. Moreover, we're really hopeful to have the men's and women's U.S. national team return to Portland for World Cup qualifiers, friendlies, and again, given the growth of the sport in our country, they are needing larger capacity. So the economic impact and the ability to draw events, we think, will be very well served if expansion does proceed.
And the second question, Mike, has to do with the just quantifying the extent of the waiver of the ticket tax. And let me put it as succinctly as possible. I believe that waiving the ticket tax in consideration of the public investment that's being made to expand and enhance a facility owned by the city is in the public interest. We can quantify what that means, assuming you're wildly successful and you fill all the seats. The one thing we can't quantify as precisely is the displacement effect that could occur if existing ticket holders in seats that are subject to the tax migrate over to seats that are not subject to the tax. Number one, how do we quantify that? And number two, what assurances can you give us that we are in effect being asked to waive a specific amount of tax revenue?
Sure. A couple questions in there, Commissioner Fish. Let me address them one at a time, please. As it relates to the tax exemption we're seeking, what we're asking for is through our investment, we are positioning the city to derive ticket tax revenue that they would not otherwise derive. We're simply asking for a delay in that.
Right.
So beyond our exemption and going forward through the length of our operating agreement and then beyond, which is not immaterial to the discussion, the city will be deriving material amounts of new ticket tax revenue by virtue of the expansion. And Commissioner Fritz raised the question the other day about the Thorns. As it relates to the Timbers, we're sold out As you know, we have a waiting list of 13,000, so all the seats are going to be occupied. So the city will not forego any ticket tax on existing seats because they're going to be filled, as they have been for each of our games over the last 7 years. As it relates to the Thorns, we never contemplated the Thorns when we did our original deal with the city in 2010, 2011. We're unbelievably proud to have launched the Thorns and see it flourish the way it has. As many of you know, it is the most well-attended women's sports team in the world, period. It's pretty darn cool. The business has grown dramatically. The Thorns business has grown dramatically every year, and we expect that trajectory to continue. So financially, I think all of us involved will benefit from the Thorns continuing to grow, and we think the expansion will only be further catalyst to the Thorns' growth. So I think it's going to be additive to all of us and not dilutive.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. So on that point, I recognize this resolution today is just giving the blessing to go forth and negotiate a contract. So I would like to see something in there that does safeguard the ticket taxes that are currently paid on the Thorns seats. And I'm not sure exactly how you're going to do this, but to make make sure that people are not moving to a seat where you will get the ticket taxes and we won't. Because as we all know, as wildly successful as the Timbers and the Thorns have, it's still an investment of public money that it enabled the whole stadium expansion to work. So I'd like that to be considered. The other thing that is concerning to me, I believe that the Blazers contract is up in the motor set in the Rose Quarter in 2025. I'm looking at Susan Hartnett, yes. So to the extent that currently Blazer ticket taxes are helping to pay the financing for Providence Park, if for some reason that the Blazers no longer are at the Motor Center, then we will have a very challenging situation in which the general fund will be responsible for paying off the Providence Park debt. So I would hope that there would be something in the contract that would speak to a willingness to look at a different scenario, to do something about that to help the city out, to minimize the general fund risk as part of the contract negotiations.
Noted. Thank you.
Commissioner Fish.
Mike, one other question. Your league is expanding, and we're seeing stadiums built all over the country, and some of them are suburban-style stadiums that are not as accessible as ours. And some are bigger. They have more seating, and they're starting from scratch. I asked you this question when you came in to brief me, but I was so proud of your answer, I thought I'd give you a chance to say it publicly. Why do you, as an ownership group, want to make a big investment in this stadium versus replacing it with a larger stadium in another location?
You know, we realize we have a very unique relationship with our fan base, many of whom are here today, with the community at large, with the city, and we realize that Providence Park is uniquely situated. There's amazing, rich history at that location, and we want to be there for the long term. And this expansion that we're all contemplating increases our commitment to doing that. One of our biggest fears is that at the end of our operating agreement, which expires in 2035, if we don't do this, that Providence Park isn't viable and we'd be forced to look elsewhere. We don't want to do that. We are committed to being where we are, and we think this expansion will help us do that.
Thank you.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you. Well, in the last couple months, I have learned more than I ever knew there was to know about our spectator venues, and I still have a long ways to go. I'm generally supportive of the expansion. I think it's a beautiful design. I share some of Commissioner Fritz's concerns. I realize that the $50 million is coming from your end, but I want to make sure that I understand the impact on our spectator venue maintenance fund and the impact on our obligation to maintain this increased size, the potential of diluting tickets on the side where we are taking a commission. And I guess I'm curious, do you have a timeline for how long you think it would take Peregrine to recoup the $50 million through increased ticket sales?
On the latter question, Commissioner Udaly, there's still a lot of moving parts. The design is still not in final form. The costs are possibly going up. We haven't set ticket prices. So there's a lot of moving parts yet. So for us to definitively state what sort of the our economics are is challenging. It's many years. We know that. As it relates to the first part of your question or comments, we believe if you look at this deal on its own merits, which I think is what you're doing today, it's really hard to argue that there's a material return on investment. There's some additional costs that the city may face, as you pointed out, but there's no upfront investment.
Right.
And there's long-term material upside for the city predicated on our private investment. So I think, and we want this. We want this to be a win for the city, and we want this to be a win for the fan base. And obviously we wouldn't be doing it if we didn't feel it was a good thing for the club, and we're hopefully crafting a deal that reflects that.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fish, did you have a...
Fine.
Very good. If you could just hang out, we'll take some public testimony. Is there public testimony on this item?
Yes, we have three people signed up. Robert West, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, and Scott Swearingen.
Just sit down over there, thanks. Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson. And as the mayor already noted, this is kind of unique. We're doing professional sports venues much different than Mr. Adelson in Las Vegas. And I thank Commissioner Udaly and Commissioner Fritz for their concern that even on the generally positive financial picture, we still have the question of we've got a bunch of sold-out seats that we have, ticket revenue tax that we're collecting, the new seats... Will people switch? But as Peregrine has pointed out, it's still a little unclear what type of seating they're going to construct, how many nosebleed seats, how many premium seats. I think that one thing that is missing, and perhaps Peregrine comes back up, we'll hear how well Portland is doing as a professional sports venue with equity. What is the scoping of the ticket prices? Is there any pressure to have them look at the feasibility of seats that aren't nosebleed but are still affordable so that the whole of the Portland community can enjoy the thorns and the timbers? Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Scott Swearingen. It's good to be back in front of several of you and some of you for the first time. I am representing the 107 Independent Supporters Trust, which is the engine behind the Timbers Army as well as the Rose City Riveters. I went through this process in 2010, 2011, and I'm glad to be back here with this deal in particular, especially with the private money. I'll keep it short, but we are in support of this this resolution and this expansion. The main thing that we are challenged with as an organization, especially on the timber side, is that we are constrained within our north end sections. We represent over 5,000 paying members this year, and our ability to get any of those paying members into the stadium is hamstrung by the overall capacity. As a population within the stadium, we're aging out because there's no ability to get fresh faces in. As part of the stadium expansion, it will open up the ability for people to move within the stadium who already have tickets and get some of those new faces in and into the Timbers Army sections, into the Rose City Riveter sections, and allow us to continue to grow and thrive. Because our goal is to be the greatest supporters the world's ever seen. We start popping up on a lot of international media as like a great one of the best places to catch a game in the world. We'd like to continue that, and to do that, adding this this renovation and this additional capacity will really aid everyone involved, in our members especially.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think one important thing we've overlooked is that in the age of smartphones, we might have a way that we can impose special surcharges on Sounders fans. Of course, we don't want a war back and forth when we're there, but I think that's very important to research. Thank you.
Thank you. Was there any more public testimony?
That's all who signed up.
Mike, could you come back up? Because there were a couple of interesting points that have been raised. And the first is around, it's my understanding, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but in the conversations that we have had and that staff has had staff to staff, it is obvious that your intention is not to play a shell game with regard to the spectator funds on the Thorns. It's my understanding that we could reach an agreement whereby those funds would be stabilized?
Absolutely. We are coming at this truly with a win-win proposition in mind. We also realize that a healthy spectator fund is good for us, and so we want to do the right thing. And so we're if resolution passes today and we continue negotiations, we will work hard at achieving that right balance that you alluded to.
Thank you. And I don't necessarily want to put you on the spot, but I thought it was a really interesting comment. The question about is there an opportunity as we go forward to talk about some lower income opportunities for people to be able to participate in what's obviously a phenomenal sporting opportunity.
Well, I appreciate Mr. Johnson's comments and questions. And one of the things we're so proud of with the Timbers and Thorns that we're very affordable and very accessible. You can come to a Thorns game for $12. You can have a season ticket in the Timbers Army, and if you're willing to sleep out overnight, sit in the front row for $24. And so soccer, relative to the other major sports in our country, is highly affordable. It's one of the engines behind our success. And what expansion will allow us to do is to keep those prices at an affordable level. You know, as we've talked about, we've been sold out. We have a waiting list. Yet we haven't, you know, simple economics would say you have all this demand. You could raise prices aggressively. We haven't. And so the affordability and accessibility that's at the heart of soccer is critical to us as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you for your answers. Any further questions or comments? Carla, please call the roll. Mike, you're welcome to take a seat.
Thank you.
Fish?
Well, first, I just have to declare a conflict of interest. My son and my daughter are soccer snobs, and we go to a lot of Thorns games, and it's some of the best times in my life is to sit with my kids watching the best women in the world play soccer and to wear Kendall Johnson's jersey to root on for a local star. This is not a hearing to address the design, and that is subject to other legal process, so it would be inappropriate to comment on the design. But I will comment that I think it was inspired to ask architect Brad Klofel to work with your team for two reasons. One is he's one of the most famous architects in the world, and most of his work is done outside of Oregon. So the fact that he would have an opportunity to design something iconic here, not editorial comment, something here, is important. Okay. And the second thing is, during Design Week, he was featured at an event, and not a lot of people know this, but in the most important competition currently in the world for a memorial, he's been chosen as a finalist to design the Holocaust Memorial in the city of London, England. And that honor of being a finalist has gone to a number of the most prominent architects in the world. So it's kind of neat that someone of that caliber is on your team. I've been on the council from the very beginning of this process, and back in 2010, 2011, we had a very spirited discussion about the level of public investment in a vision that Mr. Paulson had. And as you know, Mike, at the time, I could not get my arms around the city putting substantial resources into both a soccer stadium and a baseball venue. And my ultimate decision was reached on the basis of conversations I had with our financial team, including our chief financial officer. I was very proud subsequently to vote on an ordinance which went with a soccer stadium only option, which was based on a new set of financing, which I thought was more in the public interest. Today, who could have forecast that we'd be here talking about a franchise that has already won a national championship or two national championships in both teams, and that is bringing the best of professional soccer to our community? The mayor, I think, is correct to look at the experience of other cities around the country, because cities that have invested hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money in these bigger and bigger stadiums have often found it is not a good deal for the taxpayer. It is a good deal for the owners, but not for the taxpayer. So when I heard that you and the ownership group was coming forward and saying we're ready to make a $50 million investment in the city's stadium, I was very pleasantly surprised. And I think it's enormously generous. What you have asked as part of this deal is that we waive a tax on tickets that would not exist but for your $50 million investment. Let's be clear. If the city doesn't want the expansion, then they won't have the tickets. We won't be generating the taxes anyway. So we're either going to give green light to this opportunity. And since you haven't asked for any direct public subsidies, it seems to me it is reasonable to ask that our modest contribution be the taxes generated on seats that would not otherwise be generated unless you invested $50 million. I wish more people came forward to the city with deals like that. And we're not here, in my view, to debate every aspect of the Visitors Development Fund and every bucket and the holistic system. We're looking here at one stadium and one deal. And I have concluded this is in the public interest to proceed on these terms. And I thank you and Merritt Paulson for really the spectacular benefit you've brought to our community with two successful soccer clubs. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I think this is a wise investment. As our decision back in 2010, 2011, it was a wise decision to partner with Peregrine Sports to produce the tremendous success the city has experienced under having the Portland Timbers and the Portland Thorns. You have lived up to everything that was committed to and then some, which includes revenues to the city. So this additional investment of private dollars for a modest forgiveness of ticket tax for a period of 10 years, I believe, I think is a wise leverage of city resources to produce a $50 million investment and to better serve our residents in their enjoyment of all the excitement and magic that is the Timbers and the Thorns. So I'm very pleased to support this. Aye.
You, Daly?
Well, Commissioner Fish, I certainly wasn't wanting to look a gift horse in the mouth. I just feel that it is my responsibility to understand what kind of liability that we're agreeing to, even though we're not outlaying cash up front. I will continue to explore that. Aye.
Fritz.
I've got my Rosie of the Riveters scarf here. And, Scott Swearingen did say that we aim to be the greatest supporters in the world. I think we're there. I don't know of any other supporters club that is so public-spirited. And Mr. Johnson raised the issue of ticket costs. You can get two free Thorns tickets with a fill-up of gas in some places. And there's always people who are donating tickets that they you can pick up at the Fan Laden if you get there early enough. So it's a very mixed group, especially for the Thorns game. It's all different ages, all different kinds of folks who are just enjoying a relatively inexpensive family day out. And I very much appreciate that aspect of it. This resolution refers to the 10-year tax diversion, so because the Peregrine will be keeping the tax. It's not like the tax won't be there. The seat prices will remain the same after the 10 years. It says that in the whereas clauses. It doesn't yet say it in the resolved. So I'm hoping that I know that our team from the Office of Management and Finance will be negotiating a good deal for everybody, to be really clear. I also want to particularly thank Mike Gollub, who, as Commissioner Fish referred to, he's not only on the chair of the board of the Regional Arts and Culture Council. He and I have been having discussions over many years now about paid internships for the Thorns players. It's one of the big areas of our community in Oregon where the gender difference in pay is stark and disgraceful. And that's because of the way that the National Soccer Federation, or whatever they're called, it sounds like the Empire Strikes Back, that they set the rules. But the national team players for the Thorns get paid a decent wage, and the other local heroes, as Commissioner Fish mentioned, Kendall Johnson and others, they don't. So what Mr. Gollub and I are going to be doing over the next few weeks, and hopefully we'll have something to prepare for the next council vote, is a formal internship programs reaching out to the Thorns and the Timbers sponsors to introduce
the wonderful young players who come to Portland to be part of the greatest team in the world, and maybe hopefully will stay in our city. We were very happy to host one of the Thorns as an intern in Portland Parks and Recreation this past year, and as a pilot project, and with the success of that, I'm sure we can build on it. So thank you for your partnership in that. It really is about the whole game. It's not just a game. It's about the whole experience for players and families, and I appreciate what our city has done. Aye.
Wheeler.
I first of all just want to say I believe the Timbers and the Thorns are amongst the best sporting franchises anywhere in the world. And as a dad, this has been a really positive and personal thing for me. I personally have always been involved in sports that are lousy spectator sports. And so it's been hard to inspire my young daughter to be interested in something like triathlon. When you watch it on channel 387 or whatever channel it is, it's like watching paint dry. And then there was the day I took her to the Thorns. And she had never expressed any interest in sports at all until we got to the Thorns game. And all of a sudden, when she saw all these women on the field, she was suddenly riveted. And she asked if we could move down closer, and we went down closer. She was leaning into the game the whole time. And she asked me afterwards if she could get a jersey. And so we went up and she got a jersey. And I'm very happy to say she wears that jersey all the time. Maybe more than she should, but she wears it all the time. So that's the personal story. But now I have to take you back to the beginning. I was also at the hearings that were held by this city council when Merritt Paulson was here and Mike and others were talking about their original vision. And while I supported the Timbers and I supported their efforts to expand the stadium, I opposed the financing mechanism that was being proposed at the time, which was the use of tax increment financing. And the reason I opposed it was because it was taking not only resources away from other valuable county programs, and I was, of course, sitting at that table, not this table, but I also opposed it because it meant the public was taking the risk. And if this vision that these individuals had didn't actually pan out, the reality is we would still need to expend tax increment financing to pay off the bonds that would have been issued for the expansion of the stadium. And so when I was first approached by Merritt Paulson and Mike about an expansion, I'll be honest with you, I started to get sweaty palms. And I was very pleased over the course of several conversations that now that they are an established franchise and their proof of concept has been proven beyond any doubt, and now that they can actually look back on their most optimistic business plans, their pro formas, and be able to state with a straight face that they exceeded even their most optimistic scenarios of how this experiment would turn out in Portland with a major stadium expansion and the creation of a new franchise system. This deal, to me, is as good a deal as any public jurisdiction anywhere in the United States has ever been able to put together with a private sector sports team. And it is as a result of their preparation and their leadership in bringing a really incredible opportunity to the city of Portland. And what we're doing here by passing this resolution is both acknowledging the value of that effort that took place here and recognizing that there is still a tremendous amount of upside potential, not just for the Timbers and the Thorns and Peregrine, but for the community at large. So I'm very supportive of this effort. I will tell the Chief Operating Officer, the Chief Administrative Officer, you also heard Mr. Reinhart, that there are some other issues that the council would still like to have conversations about, and I know you and Mike and others will take those conversations seriously going forward. But this is the necessary first step. I thank my colleagues for listening to my long-winded speech. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted.
Mayor,
thank
can
you.
We-